The internet has brought about a wealth of information at our fingertips. We can log in and Google in order to find out information about almost anything. More and more information is added each day from all kinds of sources. Facts and reported truths are readily accessible. Now, to the student and researcher, this has been a blessing. But all is not as good as it may sound. Maybe, to our dismay, many findings may not be fact or true. Just because they're on the internet doesn't mean that it's a fact or it is true. Therefore, much that we find on the internet must be scrutinized and questioned, even though it may be passed on as historical and empirical truth. It just may be information which has been passed on from false origins or tainted with biased viewpoints. Now, in being a historian, I have found that even what has been commonly accepted as historic truths may not be that at all. This is discovered when research is done into available primary resources and documents, not just the acceptance of a prior so-called historic book or writing. To contradict what is commonly accepted, though, is to be ridiculed and often denied, even though it may be supported with well-documented and creditable primary source material. In many respects, I have found myself in the past in the predicament of uncovering historic facts through primary research, some of which contradict conventional thought and wisdom. To say the least, it is very frustrating to see misconceptions being promoted even though the facts belie them. And boy, we're going to see a lot more of that on the internet this fall. It is even more frustrating to realize that anything you say to validate your authority is not only questioned, but disregarded. Sometimes it's very frustrating to be a historian. In this I can identify with Paul. Paul was not one of the original apostles, nor was he even a follower of Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry. It was to the original apostles and followers that authority within the Jesus movement was given. People looked to them for the movement's doctrine, for the teachings and early decisions, and not the upstart Paul. After all, Paul was never in the presence of the earthly Jesus. How could he ever claim to be an apostle or even authority within the Jesus movement? Furthermore, he had vigorously persecuted the followers of Jesus. All of this added up to his authority being not only questioned, but denied by some Judeo-bound church leaders among Paul's established churches in the region of Galatia. These churches accepted Gentiles as full members without first becoming a Jew or fulfilling the Mosaic law. But Paul's authority was in question, along with the gospel of Christ, and the nature of the early church was at stake. This placed Paul in the unenviable position to prove his authority, especially since it appeared that the church in Jerusalem or the apostles were not yet convinced that Paul's stand on the Gentiles was right. They still felt they were under the restrictions of the Mosaic law, and a person had to become a Jew first in order to be a follower of Christ. Now, in the very beginning of his letters to the Galatians, he began his defense. He profoundly claimed apostleship because he was directly chosen by Jesus on the road to Damascus. He writes, "Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me." Just as the original apostles had been chosen and called by Jesus, Paul states he was also chosen. In our lesson this morning, he gives further evidence of his authority, for he claimed the gospel came to him over a 3-year period as a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. "For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origins. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, this placed him in a very different light than the apostles in Jerusalem, who were filtering the gospel through the human channels of tradition. It would appear that Paul's proclamation of the gospel was more direct and uncorrupted. At least, that was the case he was trying to make. He made the claim that the gospel which was being proclaimed by some Jewish Christians, he proclaimed that this was corrupted by human interpretation and tradition. He writes in the beginning verses of Galatians, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." This confusion we see and will be seeing in the months to come over the airwaves. Now with Paul, definitely takes their offensive and sets the tone for what was to follow in his letter. To reinforce this offense, he reiterates and reinforces it by stating from birth he was chosen by God. "But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles." He again makes the case that his revelation of the gospel came directly from Jesus and not from the followers or the apostles. He denies any real contact with them prior to his proclaiming the gospel. He states that then after 3 years after the Damascus Road conversion, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days, but I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. It was evidently during these 3 years mainly spent in isolation in Arabia that he was given the revelation of the gospel of Christ. Now, with his reputation and authority at stake, you can see that Paul did not hesitate to speak up for himself. More importantly, he did not waver from directly telling where his authority came from. It was not corrupted by the past beliefs and being with the Pharisaic tradition. All that was replaced by the gospel as given to him directly by Jesus. In his own defense, he never questioned himself, nor did he leave any room for others to question. In terms of historic endeavors, he documented and footnoted his presentation to get credibility of his authority. Now, with even his best efforts, Paul would continue to struggle. Struggle in his attempts to separate the church from the tradition of the Mosaic law. The church, even today, struggles to separate itself from the traditions of the Mosaic law. Not much new. Time and time again, he would denounce those who insisted that in order to find favor in God's eyes, the prerequisite of becoming a Jew was mandatory. It wouldn't be until later when the council of the church in Jerusalem was convinced by him that the adherence to the Jewish law was not necessary, and the gospel was for everybody, Jew and Gentile alike. Then he began to be respected. This meant that most of the apostles were finally abhorred. It would take representatives from the Jerusalem church to personally give testimony to Paul's proclamation that the gospel was for all people, before the question could be somewhat put to rest. This council gave birth to the church while recognizing Paul's apostleship as well as his authority in the gospel. You know, it was a long struggle. But Paul's perseverance and his undying belief that the good news was for everyone gave him the victory. This undying belief was founded upon the fact that mankind's relationship with God was a result of God's grace and the acceptance of this grace through faith. Grace could not be earned, but by following the law. But it was freely given out of God's love. Paul fought what seemed to be an insurmountable odds, and he won. No matter what confronted him, he never wavered in his belief. even after being totally discredited by the authorities of the day. He knew the gospel, and he knew that the gospel was a result of God's love, not out of man's own making. He knew God was actively working through him, for he had experienced this in a most dramatic way. If it wouldn't have been for Paul and his total conviction, one wonders if the gospel would have been handed down to us today. Think about it. But God used Paul, a seemingly very unworthy servant who actually persecuted his followers. He used Paul to carry forth the gospel, and Paul did not shrink from the call, but responded with great conviction and perseverance. You know, it is such conviction, such perseverance, that God calls us to live our lives. The gospel is still being challenged today, and it is being discredited by false interpretations. We must respond to the challenges with living the reality of God's love and forgiveness. We see life through love and forgiveness. That's the gospel. We are not to waver in our zeal in living this gospel of the good news. At stake is not our reputation or what people think about us, but the very lives of human brothers, our human fellow brothers and sisters. That's what's at stake. The lives of others. It takes strength to stand up and live that what we believe. And that strength is there for us and is always present there. For God's presence is there within us to give us that strength to witness, to live up to what we believe, to live up to the gospel of love, to the gospel of forgiveness. That's it, my friends. Amen.